Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. It's time to hit the road with Liberty Magazine editor Lincoln Steed. He was recently in a country that has some religious liberty challenges, and he's here to tell us what he discovered. Lincoln, where were you, why were you there, and what did you learn?
I've been traveling the Mayan route.
Okay.
I technically went to Guatemala, where my wife's from, but it's worth remembering that Guatemala in Central America, apart from being a sovereign nation, is really the home to the Mayans. There are two basic Indian cultures in the Central and South America, the Aztecs and the Mayas. And the Mayan Empire stretches all over Guatemala, but spills over into what is now Mexico and a little south into the rest of Central America. And as Guatemalans will freely tell you, the Yucatan Peninsula used to be Guatemala.
Yes.
And I'm getting on all of this for a reason, because talking about religious liberty, Liberty Magazine a few years ago featured a number of stories on a very severe religious liberty crisis in Mexico, but in Chiapas, which used to be Guatemala. And Chiapas is where primarily the Mayan Indians live in Mexico. So even though it's Mexico, it might as well be culturally Guatemala and the Mayan culture. And the problem that they had in Mexico was that many of these Mayans, who of course ancestrally had a basic animist sort of a religion with so-called witch doctors and so on, for want of a better word.
Yes.
But in recent years, or in recent times, they've come under the oversight of the Roman Catholic Church in that predominantly Catholic area. But in very recent times, these people have proved very responsive to Pentecostal Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that today, particularly in Guatemala. And I've flipped, obviously. I'm back in Guatemala now, but the same culture.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, when we were driving from Guatemala City to one of the nearby lakes, we drove past an immense structure, easily as big as a sports stadium, a covered sports stadium, it looked like. And I asked what it was, and they said, oh, this is a big evangelical church.
Oh.
And there were tens of thousands of cars parked around, an immense thing. So in Chiapas, this growing popularity of the Pentecostals proved onerous for the Catholic-dominated majority and a problem for the government as a whole, because they saw it as destabilizing. And there was a huge outbreak of violence in Chiapas. There were instances that continue to this day of people being ejected from their villages because they'd converted to Protestantism, this sort of freelance sort of Christianity. And it's been a continuing problem. Mexico, of course, has made progress in damping down the conflict, but it's not gone away. So I was very interested in Guatemala to see the continuing signs of freelance Protestantism, to put another word to it.
Yeah.
Religion clearly has a strong hold on this country generally, but most particularly with the indigenous population. A few days after Easter, I was in Guatemala for part of Holy Week, their Easter celebrations, and I saw the kickoff of it, and it was amazing, again, after first seeing it decades ago, to see the public piety on display all throughout the country, but in particular, I saw it in Antigua, Guatemala, which is the old provincial capital of Central America, Antigua, Guatemala, and it was abandoned some hundreds of years ago when an earthquake largely destroyed it, but now it's a World Heritage Site and a vibrant tourist destination, and the whole culture is on display there. And for Holy Week, the displays of religion are amazing. Where the religious processions that take place, they meticulously prepare the entire road, and hundreds of people will spend days laying out the roads in intricate patterns and designs and so on, marking them out, and then, in essence, painting them with colored sawdust.
Hmm.
So that it's a literal vibrant carpet. It's as tightly painted as a woven carpet, stretching miles. And then during the different festival occurrences, they will bring the holy relics, the statues of this or that saint, the Virgin Mary and so on. They'll bring them out of the church on a huge platform borne by dozens of supporters dressed in identical robes that are different every year, and they're sort of like clubs, holy clubs, where they dress in these elaborate regalias. Some years that they're almost like Muslim women in hijabs, the face to ground covering. Right. This year they looked like Old Testament characters, all in sort of aqua outfits. And as they parade these monstrous effigies through the streets, and here you've got dozens of people bearing these heavy things on their backs, all walking in unison. And in front of them, there's the marimba bands. In front of them, the pagan priests giving their little votive offerings and waving the censers. And hundreds of thousands sometimes of people pressing close to watch these. It's amazing. And obviously that's a different culture than we see in the United States or in Canada or Australia, where I'm originally from. But it tells me again, or it told me again when I saw it, that religion is a powerful force in a community. You can't dismiss it easily. Can't dismiss it. And of course, from the point of a Protestant, I see the very sad, or dangerous, maybe is a better word, mixing of pagan and Christian. But, you know, that's not a question of religious liberty. It's a question of complicating religious life.
Right, right. But, of course, the whole idea of religious liberty is to allow that to happen within certain boundaries. Am I right?
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's no problem from a religious liberty point of view.
Right.
I can't take off my personal Protestant hat, and I look at it and I think, sort of a syncretistic form of religion. But whenever I see this sort of thing, I'm overwhelmed by the personal piety and dedication and commitment that individuals make. And, you know, sometimes they even have parades of people flagellating themselves. Yes. And so on. This is, it goes way beyond just a display of religion. Mm-hmm. And I've not seen or heard of it in Guatemala, but in the Philippines, just comes to mind, you know, when they have these similar parades, on occasion, people even allow themselves to be literally crucified, nails through their hands and feet.
Yeah, I've attended flagellantes ceremonies in the Philippines, and for a child, it was pretty frightening. You know, when we look at this, Lincoln, when you and I, as a little more conservative Christians, look at this, we are sometimes in awe, but sometimes sort of repelled by it. Let's just for a moment try to look at this through the eyes of God. How do you think God looks down at Guatemala and what's going on down there that you just described? What do you think his thoughts are?
It's always hard to play God, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
But I'm inclined to think that God's heart is touched with this sort of devotion. Whether it's what he wants, I think not. Whether this sort of works will gain the full benefit of salvation and, you know, the hope for total acceptance from a deity, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I can't think that God rejects it. These people are too committed, too tearfully contrite, I think, for it to be dismissed. And at the very least, I sort of put it in the same vein as Jesus was watching in the temple. The widow came and slipped her mite into the offering box. I think God notices that. It's not the falsely pious but empty public prayers that many of our public officials say in the West are prone to give. I don't think God listens much to them. But no, I'm impressed by it. I mean, I don't think it's correct, but I do think it's fervid and heartfelt and inculcated into the deepest recesses of people's thinking in some of those places.
And that is a beautiful answer, because I think that God is inviting us to look at things like this, things that aren't like us, things that happen that we don't necessarily agree with or even sometimes repulsed by when it comes to religion, through his eyes. Our hearts need to be touched by the fervor, and I think that's what happened to you, am I right?
Yes. And I've got to tell our listeners a particular experience we had while we were there.
Yes.
On the first Friday night of Holy Week. We were staying downtown Antigua, and we noticed many people walking down the street past our accommodations. And so we asked, and we found out that they were going for one of the ceremonies at the nearby Catholic Church as part of Holy Week. Mm-hmm. So we decided to see what was going on. So we joined the crowd, and it was already about 10 o'clock, and we found that it was going all night. And as we moved closer to the church, thousands and thousands of people, the press got bigger and bigger. And finally we got to the church. You could hardly move. I joked to my wife, I said, this is what it's like to be a sardine. So we persisted, and we pushed and wriggled our way through the crowd, through the door of the church. And after about an hour, we'd slowly worked our way to the front of the public area. And about half of the church was taken up with an incredible diorama of Christ and his apostles in the stormy sea on Galilee. Very big figures, maybe 10, 12 foot high. And the boat was in the storm cresting, and it was mechanically moved, I think, as it moved a little. And then there was the noise of the storm, and they had the huge waves made out of some sort of styrofoam. Very realistic, I must say. And in front of it, the same sort of sawdust painting to complete the whole thing. And then we all ended at the barrier. And off to the side, the band was playing like a funeral dirge. Very powerful, moving sort of resonant music. And then in Spanish, the voice told the story of, because Jesus was stretching out, of how he can save you from the storm and so on. I found it very powerful. And clearly it is for particularly the poor people. There's people that are existing on just cents a day, living in a very threadbare existence, especially for out and around in the fringes of these cities. And here they're coming in, and they see a technology, a sight, and a music that's overwhelming. And I don't doubt that the people's lives are just shaken to their core when they see the sign of a saving Jesus. And I can't think that's bad, but it's very unique. You don't see such, well, not unique, but special, because in the West we don't usually see such obvious overwhelming signs of calls for devotion and the immediate response of a small human being pressed like a sardine, yes, looking up at this impressive sight of a saving Christ.
A saving Christ illustrated beautifully in faraway Guatemala. Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, has been our guest today. Lincoln, thank you so much for being with us and sharing these thoughts. And ladies and gentlemen, libertymagazine.org is the website for more information. Listen to these programs, read the articles from the magazine, all at libertymagazine.org. Until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Lincoln Steed, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651 or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.